There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Clark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Steve Falb, my co-host. Nasser Hamid is at Silverstone today covering the GP3 testing. This is podcast number 568, April 12th, 2012. Stephen?
This F1 Weekly podcast brought to you by Google Ads. Google Ads, get your stuff you want now. Now, get it. Click on them, you know you want to.
Thank you, Stephen. On today's program, Bahrain still a very big question mark. William adds Susie Wolf to its driver lineup. And is it do or die for Felipe Massa in Shanghai? And Motorsports Mondial with the Duke of Dijon himself, your humble host, Clark Rogers. Steven, welcome to the studio. How are you?
Wonderful, Mr. Rogers. And yourself?
Well, good. This was a long break. What?
It seemed unusually long for, especially on an Asian swing. Usually it's a minimum of 1 week off.
Well, we know everybody at Ferrari went home to get yelled at.
Yeah. Luca throwing televisions at the
obviously, the staff. You know, winning that last Grand Prix was fantastic for them, but those kinds of circumstances are not going to show their beautiful head very often.
You know, Luca's in Bernie's office. Hey, I want sprinklers on the track in Shanghai.
Yeah, absolutely. But I haven't checked the weather, but if Shanghai has some rain, it could be definitely very, very interesting.
Yeah, it could definitely shake things up. I don't know that Ferrari could manage to pull off the same result, but, you know, rain benefits everybody, really. And it really flattens the field.
Yeah, well, certainly if there's no rain, it's going to be very similar to what we've been looking at. And that's going to be McLaren. Red Bull's definitely got to pick it up. We need to see Kimi Raikkonen and Grosjean on the podium. I mean, there's a lot of talk at Lotus F1 now that they've lost their Lotus title, but they'll keep it for the rest of the year and figure something else out. Maybe they'll go back to Tolman, but still, nevertheless, they really have to get a fantastic result because they've got to back up the talk with the walk.
Yeah, well, exactly. Well, you know, we've seen them in practice. We've seen them in the speed traps being exceptionally fast. And then what does Romain Grosjean do two races in a row? He drives the car off the track.
Dude! He's had some bad luck. Just like Felipe Massa's been having bad luck.
Yeah, probably Felipe would be better off if he drove the car off the track.
Yes, that's true. But speaking of Lotus, they issued a statement. I guess, Bahrain, this is still up to the FIA. FOTA has issued a statement saying...
I like the way they threw that one over the fence.
Well, it's the FIA. It's the FIA Formula One World Championship.
Yeah, so therefore, ultimately, theirs is the final say.
It is. And Lotus put out a statement. The Bahrain International Circuit issued a press release attributing quotes to our team showing support for the Bahrain Grand Prix. These quotes were part of a full internal and confidential working document that was also sent on a confidential basis to all F1 team managers last week. Lotus F1 team is one of the 12 contestants of the Formula One World Championship, and we would never try to substitute ourselves for the Fédération Internationale de l'Automobile, which is the only party entitled to determine if a Grand Prix should go ahead or not. And we endorse the FOTA statement that was issued earlier to this effect. So Lotus wanted to make sure that they were clear, and apparently Bahrain has been quoting some of the teams for support.
Right.
To well, the justify.
Track manager in Bahrain's been really vocal the last day or two about, you know, some of the stuff that's been out in the press and how it's misrepresenting the actual conditions in Bahrain.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, everything I think is fairly calm. I think a lot of this has been overanalyzed and blown out of proportion, and I believe that the race will go on.
Yeah, I think there may be some human rights groups types who are maybe pushing negative press to try to get the race withdrawn because it would bring pressure to bear on the Bahraini government.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, Bahrain needs this race. It's a change of pace, defers all the tension from the protests and, sure, the government to a nice big sporting event. And I think it's going to be healthy for everybody.
Oh, yeah. It'd be good.
Big news out of Williams, and she's going to be going to some of the races. Maybe she'll be in China, and she's extremely attractive, Stephen.
She is quite a looker.
Yes.
I like the picture on the front page.
Yeah, DTM racer Susie Wolf. Now, let's not get fooled. She used to be known as Susie Stoddard and just recently married Williams shareholder Toto Wolf.
Yeah, that might explain why they're like, wait a minute. I don't remember there being a Wolf in DTM. But now that you mentioned Stoddard, click.
Yes, and apparently she's married to shareholder Toto Wolf. Susie will join Williams as a development driver, in which she will assist us with the development of our simulator and other technical challenges. Susie will also attend a number of races. I should add that Susie is married to Toto, and her appointment was carefully considered, then approved by the board, with Toto excusing himself from the process.
As he should,
and I still think it's something sneaky going on.
Well, it's still...
Hot wife, she's a race car driver, and now she's a test driver for Formula One team. Come on!
Well...
Why don't we just...
Let's put her on track and see how good she is.
Anyway, Wolf herself added, Formula One is the ultimate challenge for any racing driver, and it offers moi the chance, both to apply and to improve my skills I've been developing in DTM. I shall be offering some of my own technical insight, blah, 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 blah.
And we know that DTM drivers can be competitive in Formula One.
Absolutely.
She wouldn't be the first one that got into an F1 seat, so.
No, obviously. And I think, Paul DiRista has, I think, a lot of influence on some of these decisions because of his success jumping from DTM to Formula One, because it's usually the other way around.
Yeah, well, typically DTM's kind of the landing place for former Formula One drivers.
Yes, it's not...
It's usually not the other way around.
Yeah, it's certainly not a feeder series to Formula One.
No.
You wouldn't think of it that way.
But, it is another avenue that a talented driver might be able to get a ride, and if he can prove he's competitive, get himself a seat.
Correct. But good for Williams. Let's get back to Bernie real quickly and Bahrain. Bernie Ecclestone says, if the teams have any concern, they would be free to not go. But then they could face commercial consequences for doing
They'd
so.
They'd be free not to go, but we might fine them anyway. I love that.
He says there's some media speculation recently about the teams, and he's trying to seek some clarity here. But the photo statement is clear.
And what he might mean by commercial repercussions is that they could lose sponsorship money.
Excuse me. We race in an international series called the FIA. And the FIA will call the shots. So Bernie's on top of that, too. Let's go to Felipe Massa. Obviously, I don't want to say it's a make-or-break weekend.
It will go a long way towards him keeping a seat or him going home.
Well, not only that, but his morale. I mean, if he has another bad race, he's going to have to get Prozac or something. This could really throw him into a downward spiral.
You throw him into?
Well,
I think at this point, all this race can do is get him out of his downward spiral.
Right. these drivers are fragile, and Felipe is obviously very fragile. And if he ends anywhere below 10th in China...
Yeah, if he doesn't score points...
I mean, I just don't know what's going to happen.
Well, especially if he has... If he races the car as well as he can race the car... Yeah, fine. It'll be a good race for him. But if he bobbles and he gets passed easily by, Lotus, the Caterham.
Caterham.
Or, Force India, or somebody. Marisha. Somebody he should not be, shouldn't be able to easily compete against from a talent level, then he could be, you know, that could be really bad for his ego.
It could be really bad for his ego. And, of course, we know Rubens Barrichello has already spoken out about this, saying that he's, you know, he's giving advice to Massa. But after he was done texting Massa, he went to the press and said, yes, if Ferrari calls, I'm here. I'm going. Forget IndyCar.
Exactly.
I thought that was very, very funny.
What if Michael sent Felipe any texts, you know, like back in the day?
No, but they were sitting together while we were waiting for the, you know, the rain to stop. And they were touching each other.
Okay.
So it was a beautiful moment. I think he was trying to cheer him up a little bit.
Yeah.
Felipe Massa, who's failed to score a point in the opening two races of 2012, is indeed suffering. He last finished on the podium in Korea, finishing third in the inaugural Korean Grand Prix back in 2010.
Well, it's kind of brutal, too, because he had a podium locked up in Germany. Was it last year? Where he had the... Fernando is faster than you.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, so he's. I think that was a couple years ago.
Was it the same year?
Yeah. I can't remember. Nothing. Yeah. But anyway, Felipe says, I went to Maranello last week working on the simulator to be as well prepared as possible for the next two races, studying every minute or minute, excuse me, detail relating to what did not work properly in Melbourne and Sepang. To get it right and be ready for China, it's a tricky time for me and I cannot go on. I really don't want it. I know there's plenty of criticism of me from the outside, but I'm used to that, as it's certainly not the first time it's happened. So, and he goes on saying he thinks the team has full faith in him, and he will come back with many wins and many challenges.
Better find another car.
Yeah, poor Felipe. Yeah, I mean, let me put it this way. If Perez finishes above Felipe...
In Sauber,
yeah. I will be hearing the trumpets playing taps.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's going to be interesting,
or for the two Red Bull drivers, the Toro Rosso drivers. Well, anything with a Ferrari engine that finishes ahead of him,
it's over.
Is not a good thing for him.
Yeah, I concur. Kimi Raikkonen, he's pretty pumped up, like I said earlier.
So, Kimi, here we are in the Shanghai International Circuit, a racetrack where you've won at before. What are your thoughts coming here with Lotus F1 team?
I mean, it's a good circuit to come, and we'll see how the weekend goes. Hopefully we can be fast as in the previous races, but this we don't know yet. We can see after the practice.
Both drivers obviously have to do well. Kimi's been doing his share, but he said, you know, now they need a regular weekend. No funny business. Good weather, good qualifying.
Teammate on track at the end of the race.
Correct. And Kimi says about China, the E20 powered by the Renault engine is looking good for this season. Shanghai is quite similar to Albert Park and Sepang in what it requires from the car. So that should be good for us. We need to have good power, top speed down the long back straight, getting the curves and DRS working well. You also need traction, engine response in the slower corners, including the first complex that turns back in on itself. I won there in 2007, and that was a good feeling. And that was the year I won the world championship. So let's see what happens when we get out on track. Keep up the good work, Kimi Raikkonen, Mr. El Positivo.
This car looks good so far. So, you know, I would really like to see Romain stay on track because I want to see what he can actually do with this car.
I think he will. I think he's going to have a good weekend.
Yeah, he's just got to stay out of trouble.
He's going to be fine.
Get pole, and then you don't have to worry about anybody running into you.
Sauber is going to be very exciting to watch, especially him finishing second, fighting with Fernando, had the pace. I think they're going to have good race pace. They're going to be fun to watch. Toro Rosso, they looked strong last race, but the rain had a lot to do with it. I'm certainly hoping that Jean-Éric Vergne can prove himself to be the Mark Webber replacement for 2013. McLaren is still out there putting out feelers and whining a little bit about the Mercedes DRS system and the F-Duct system within the system.
Right.
Apparently it's a lot harder to copy.
Oh yeah, I'm sure it is.
According to Ross Brawn, he's laughing and giggling about it.
Well, the thing is that if they built it the way I think they probably did, those ducts are probably actually built into the bodywork.
Right. Yeah.
Makes them a lot harder to reproduce because that means all new body components, because you're talking about creating a hollow all the way through these carbon fibers and then seals and all this other good stuff to get that air to the spot that they want it out front.
No, I agree, and it's very tricky. And McLaren, instead of trying to copy it, they're just hoping he gets knocked down by Charlie Whiting. But I don't see that happening.
At this point, he's basically already said he's not going to. So, but, you know, again, like I said last time we talked about this, is McLaren needs to call Luca.
And Luca goes to Charlie.
And Luca goes to Charlie and goes, we don't think this is legal. Or Domenicali, even. We don't think this is legal. And then it will get scrutinized a whole lot more closely.
Mass dampers.
Yeah, exactly.
Thank you very much. But Patty Lowe of McLaren, he says, quote, I think there are a number of points being debated behind the scenes. We don't have a strong view one way or the other. I think that we need, at this point, clarity. I would say it would have been better to have clarity before now. So we'll have to see what the next event is in China will bring us in that sense until we've got clarity. It's difficult for us to commit huge amounts of effort in that direction. Yeah.
You don't really want to have to, you don't really want to spend a lot of time copying something that may or may not get outlawed, you know, within the next two races.
Exactly. And that was Lotus's issue with their system that kept the car level in corners during testing in Abu Dhabi after the 2011 season. They had come up with a nice system. It was deemed legal, and then Charlie Whiting canned it.
Changed his mind.
Which angered a lot of the engineers at Lotus.
Pissed me off, too. It's like, you can't, don't tell us it's legal and then turn around and say it's not.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. Any predictions for China?
You know, it's going to be interesting. You know, the McLarens have been so strong, but we've seen some changes, and I'm sure that Red Bull's made some mods to get themselves a little bit more pace. The Lotus looks really good. I kind of would have to lean towards the McLarens being at the front of the spear, but, you know, it's just kind of one of those tracks that would be pretty easy. You know, frankly, the Mercedes could get a pole because of those exceptions. You know, there's two really long straights on this track, and if they can maximize their speed through there, then they have a good chance. But I don't see, again, I think they're going to have problems with race pace.
Yeah, I think Jenson Button has a really good chance of winning this race. It's going to be very possible that we see another Hamilton pole, because Hamilton really can reach down when the car is working good to get pole.
And get that little bit extra, just like on one lap.
Yeah. Just like Sebastian Vettel can when his car is all perfect. Button, McLarens are definitely the ones to watch. Felipe Massa and Perez are the other two to watch. Fernando Alonso will do the best he can, and we'll see what happens. Yeah, he'll probably be in the top five.
Fernando will get more out of the car than that car really has.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So it's exciting. I'm looking forward to it. And I believe, correct me if I'm mistaken, but this will be broadcast live on the BBC. One of the first races to do so.
I'm not sure. It's not.
I understand, but I'm hoping. Because I like the BBC's coverage. So there. Anyway, we're going to take a quick break. And we'll be back after this brief message from Bassino.com.
Bonjour. Want to stay in a charming accommodation near the historic and famous Cognac and Bordeaux regions of southwestern France? Imagine yourself surrounded by the rolling hills and vineyards of the Charente region, sipping on cognac or the local aperitif Pinot de Charente. Opening in June 2012, Bassino offers traditional French country lodging in rustic stone cottages, fully equipped with modern comforts, suitable for families, travelers, or groups. Share a home-cooked meal with your host and soak in the ambiance and joie de vivre of the tranquil and rural French countryside. Bassinode is only a 90-minute drive from the Bordeaux airport or 30 minutes from the nearest train station in Angoulême. Navigate to bassinode.com for information or to book a reservation now. That's BASSINAUD.com. Allons-y.
Welcome back to F1Weekly.com. Clark Rogers here, your host. And now, as we spin the globe and go around the world with Motorsports Mondial and the Duke, the man himself, your host, Clark Rogers. Steven, did you have a nice weekend, and did you catch any good racing?
Not much.
Yeah, there was no Indy stuff. There was no WRC. There was no GP2 or GP3 testing anywhere. World Series by Renault was on a break. Formula 1 was on a break. But we did have some F3 action, which was exciting. Lenescar was on a break, I believe.
Yeah, they weren't racing this weekend. Yeah. Joe, so, MotoGP's opening weekend.
Yeah, MotoGP, very exciting race. I know you didn't get a chance to catch that.
No, I
But I'm sure you will be streaming it later on in the week. So anyway, let's go right to it. British F3 Series, Jack Harvey waltzed to victory in the opening round of the British Formula 3 International Series on a damp track at Oulton Park. Harvey got the nod into the first corner, and from then on, the Racing Steps Foundation-backed driver moved ever further clear of second-place Jasmine Jaffar. Pipo Derani beat Pietro Fantin in a Brazilian 1-2 in a manic reverse grid British Formula 3 International Series race. Felix Sareyes was a surprise winner in the third and final race for the British F3 Series, opening round at Oulton Park. And of course, our wonderful Nasser Hamid was there with Peter Brazier, our president of European operations. He was his photographer. They were getting great interviews. And I even saw him talking to Alan McNish. And when you see Nasser, you know, amongst the crowd, he's becoming a legend in his own mind, I think.
Certainly in his own mind.
So, yes, and that win by Felix Sareyes was fantastic. He started outside from the front row. The Puerto Rican launched ahead of poleman Jack Harvey. Harvey put Sareyes under pressure in the early laps. The Fortec Motorsports racer was able to extend an advantage of more than 2 seconds on his debut race weekend in F3. So good for the Puerto Ricans.
Yeah, good to see. You know, it's nice to see someone that we haven't seen much of jump into a new series and have a little bit of success out of the gate.
And hopefully Nasser was able to get some of these interviews. Anyway, let's go right to the Le Mans series. Toyota has been forced to delay the racing debut of its new LMP1 car because of a huge crash they had in Paul Ricard at testing, which is a big drag for them. The Japanese manufacturer was scheduled to compete their new TSO30 hybrid in the 6 hours of Spa, and this crash set them way back. Nicolas Lapierre was driving the car when they had the wreck, and because the damage was so severe, it cannot be replaced. They'll need a new monocoque, which means that their next race is Le Mans 24 heures, which is a little brutal for them.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that they only had the one car. I would think that they would have at least been far enough along on a second car that they could have gotten something out on track. But
let me tell you something, Stephen. Toyota's LMP1 budget is not the same budget when they had half Schumacher and Jarno Trulli.
Yeah.
It's a completely...
What, it's not a half a billion dollars anymore?
No. So, I am not surprised. The reason why they're into this, the reason why they've come back to do Le Mans, is because they told the board, we can do it with this budget, which is small, tidy, and it's a great race, which is great for marketing. So, there you have it. So, but still, at least they'll be at Le Mans. Spa is always exciting.
Yeah. Yeah, the problem being is that if they go to Le Mans and get smoked by the Audis, or is it Peugeot's?
Peugeot's gone.
Oh, Peugeot's out
too.
Well,
too much money, Steven.
Well, even there's still going to be teams running the last year's Peugeot.
Yeah, I believe Pescarolo.
Yeah, if they get smoked by last year's Peugeot, that's not going to look good.
No, but Toyota's had some good success. They have great engineering. They have, I think they certainly have the...
And on some level, too, this car is probably a development platform for, you know, road car
Absolutely.
Material.
I think they'll have some success. Maybe not in their first year, but we'll see if they stick it out. Let's go to IndyCar. IndyCar has made some changes to their yellows, pit lane rules. They've shortened the amount of time spent under yellows to make the restarts fairer for drivers at the front of the field. Starting with this weekend's race in Long Beach, which will be a really good race, the pit lane will be kept open during non-emergency full course yellows, and lap traffic will be able to move to the back of the field prior to the restart. Cars that are not on the lead lap will be directed to drive down pit lane on their limiters during the restart and rejoin the field at the back.
That's brutal if you're lap down.
It is a little bit brutal, but I think that what happened was on the last race, the pit row got a little too hectic when it was open, and IndyCar is trying to alleviate that problem.
Yeah, I don't know about running them down pit lane during the restart. That you're going to allow them to get gapped by the field Yeah, I understand moving them around to the back. That makes sense. But why run them down the pit lane during the restart? That just doesn't make...
I don't know what to tell you, Stephen. But I do have some Rubinho news, see? We can still stick with Rubinho. Rubens Barrichello will be entitled to extra track time allowed for rookies at some IndyCar rounds after the series re-evaluated his status, Stephen. Because of his lengthy 19 years of Formula One experience, Barrichello was only classified as a rookie for the oval rounds when he joined IndyCar with KV Racing Technology. But after a request from the team, his status has been reconsidered, and now they realize, you know, getting used to these IndyCars is going to take time.
Completely different animal.
He cannot win Rookie of the Year because he has just too much experience. It would be ridiculous.
Right.
But still, I think some leniency in getting him some track time, especially on the previous race, Friday was rained out, Saturday morning was rained out, he couldn't get in the car. He did qualifying pretty much with no time on the track.
Yeah.
Which is brutal. I think in safety terms, and even though Rubens has been doing a great job, he's not crashing, he's not Sato-ing.
Yeah, and the car is so completely different than a Formula One car. It makes sense because even with his experience, one, he's driving a car without power steering that is, compared to a Formula One car, kind of a little bit of a pig.
Right.
Just because of the way these cars are constructed, because they're really more built for ovals than they are for road courses. So it makes sense. You know, it's his first year in the series. Not like he's coming back. Like, say, if Juan Pablo Montoya had gone back to Indy versus going to NASCAR, that wouldn't have made sense to give him rookie status because he'd been in the series before.
I agree. And they are big, heavy cars. So, good for Rubens. I think we'll see him on the podium this year.
I think he has a strong chance, especially when we get back out into the road courses. You know, someplace like Sears Point, he could really excel.
As long as he survives the ovals.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
That's going to be interesting to watch. Anyway, let's move on to MotoGP. Jorge Lorenzo overcame the Hondas to take a big, important victory in a hard-fought MotoGP season opener in Qatar. Casey Stoner looked like he had fifth in the bag for most of the distance until Lorenzo attacked at the end of the race, fighting off Stoner's Honda teammate Danny Pedrosa before battling past Stoner to take a lead he would not lose. Pedrosa then shuffled Stoner back to the final step of the podium. Pretty exciting stuff. Fantastic race. If you check out some highlights on YouTube, of course. GP3 testing at Silverstone with Nasser Hamid, the king of Karachi. This is their final 2-day preseason test before the season commences in Barcelona next month. There was one new face in the lineup for the test, and that was British youngster Alice Powell, making her maiden appearance in the GP3 car for Status Grand Prix, hoping to impress to land a drive for the upcoming season and become the third female driver of the 2012 season. Mark Webber's Ardens, Mitch Evans, edges out teammate Matthias Lane on day one of testing. So good for Mark Webber's Arden team. They're on the top of the sheets, and we'll see what happens tomorrow. And I'm sure Nasser is probably getting some outstanding interviews of drivers and engineers. So there you have it, Stephen. Another fantastic race coming up this weekend. I can't wait. China is usually pretty interesting. We'll see what happens. Okay, let's go right to the wrap-up. 2012 Motorsports Memories Calendar, one and only. Go to the merchandise page. You know you want to. I want to mention our Facebook, Twitter, and Google Plus sites. Just do a search for F1 Weekly and send me a loving message. If you'd like to advertise or cross-promote with our website or podcast, just email me at info@f1weekly.com. We'll see you on the road. Good night.